It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The pawpaw is the largest edible fruit native to the United States. However, not many people know about the pawpaw or have even tasted the fruit. Our guest, author Andrew Moore, has been on the trail of the pawpaw, and he's written a book. It's called Pawpaw in Search of America's Forgotten Fruit. It chronicles the story of this singular plant. Andrew Moore, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thanks for having me on the show.
What is the pawpaw? What does it look like? What does it taste like?
Yeah, well, you already described it as the largest edible fruit native to the United States. And, you know, that's a good place to start. It's the biggest thing you're going to find in the American woods when you're hunting for fruit. And
hunting for fruit.
Yeah, right, as I have been doing.
Is there do you need a license for that? Or
you know, it's at this point license-free. You can just go out and do it. And that's part of the fun of fruits like pawpaw is that, you know, they're out in the woods waiting to be discovered.
Now, if I were walking along, and we have a pawpaw in front of us, it's sitting on our little table here between Andrew and I, and it's green. You know, it looks like it could be a pear. But if I just saw this growing out in the middle of nowhere, I'd be deathly afraid that I was going to swallow some sort of poison. So how do you tell that it's something you can eat?
Well, you do a little research first. So once you learn to identify a pawpaw, there's nothing else like it in the woods. And it's fragrant, as you can tell.
We're smelling it here in the studio. It's a couple of feet away from me, and I can smell it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And
it's the best this studio smells in a long time.
I'm glad I could be part of that. and when you break open a pawpaw, or if you stumble upon it in the woods and you step on it, you're gonna notice it's got this vibrant yellow to orange pulp. And again, there's nothing else like it in the woods. So once you find it and once you know what it is, you should feel absolutely comfortable biting into it.
And it grows not only in the woods and in out of the way places, but I'm excited to know, grows on the slopes of the south side, right in the city.
That's right. And that's not the only place in the city you can find it. You know, it's tucked away and people have it growing in their yards. You know, I don't want to give out too many addresses and kind of blow up some of the other pawpaw picker spots, but but they are to be found. And then as you leave the city, you know, some of our rivers in the region are lined with pawpaws, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pawpaws in the region.
And much like apples at this time of year, this is the time of the year when the pawpaw is ripening.
That's right. This is pawpaw season. We are under the pawpaw moon.
Under the pawpaw moon. Yeah, this is a fun thing to say. How did it get its name?
The name, it goes way back, and its origins aren't as clear as you know, perhaps some of us pawpaw historians would like it to be. But it's traced back to actually to the Caribbean. It was the indigenous Taino or Carib word that was used to for the word papaya. And then at some point in history, the American colonists or enslaved Africans started referring to our fruit, the one we're looking and smelling here in the studio, as pawpaw, sometime 500, 600 years ago.
It's a fun word to say, you know. It's, you could imagine kids just saying, you know, can I have a pawpaw?
sure, and not only fun to say, but you know, Americans wrote at least one folk song about it, and you know, some of our listeners might know it from the old song "Way Down Yonder in the Pawpaw Patch."
Ah, okay, so that's where that comes from. I'm mm-hmm. making some connections here. Now, why do you call this America's forgotten fruit? Obviously, you haven't forgotten it, but you hadn't discovered it until, what, 5 years ago?
5 years ago, right, yeah. And more people are knowing about pawpaws today. But most often, folks like myself, we've been introduced to the fruit. This isn't something we grew up knowing. And as a culture, it's something that we haven't been interacting with. I call it the forgotten fruit because generations ago, it was something that if you lived on the edge of the woods, if you had a farm, most likely you knew pawpaws and you would gather them every September. They were sold at markets a long time ago. They pawpaw beer and pawpaw brandy was a rural libation.
Pawpaw beer.
Pawpaw beer. Yeah, going you know, back to at least Prohibition, folks were making this drink. So it's something that, that we stopped interacting with.
Yeah, so you couldn't get booze, but the pawpaw was there for you.
That's right. It was there for you.
We're talking about all things pawpaw today on this segment of Essential Pittsburgh. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Let's go to the phones. We have Heather on the line from Pittsburgh. Heather, welcome. Go ahead with your comment or question for Andrew Moore.
Hi, Paul, and hi, Andy. I recently brought a pawpaw from Pittsburgh home to my mother in the Philadelphia area, and she loved it. She absolutely loved the taste. And then we went out hunting for pawpaws this past weekend, and we found some in the Philadelphia area. Some taste very different, and some tasted just like the ones here in Pittsburgh. So I'm wondering if Andy can comment on the variations in taste, if that has to do with cultivar or what.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
That's a really interesting question, because different types of apples grow in different parts of the country. So why not with the pawpaw?
That's a good point to a connection to make, Paul. Pawpaw, like anything else in nature, has great genetic diversity. And just as there are thousands of different apple cultivars, the same is true with pawpaw. You can go into the woods and find a pawpaw that tastes wonderful, that is, a pound and a half even. And then you can find pawpaws that are small, perhaps not as good tasting. So there is a wide diversity. And it's one of the fun things about pawpaws is it's a fruit and a crop that's sort of in its infancy in terms of human interaction with it. So we're still able to find lots of these great cultivars. So if you were to compare, say your Granny Smith or your Red Delicious Apple, we're still finding those equivalents in the pawpaw world. So when you're out hunting in the woods, you might just find something that is to be considered one of the great pawpaws.
Well, what we're learning about nature in this modern age is that there used to be many more, I think thousands more variations of apples. And there are now less. Is it different with the pawpaw?
Well, the apples that we eat in America are apples were brought here, via Central Asia and into Europe, and then brought to America. So we had a great diversity. And then as we stopped growing those cultivars in the last century, we lost a lot of them. And some are being revived. The pawpaw, on the other hand, never went through that same domestication process. So a lot of the great pawpaws that exist are still waiting to be discovered in the wild. Those genetics are still out there. There are also pawpaw collectors and pawpaw breeders, so you can find some really great cultivars, and those are, available just by a Google search. You can find some of those really good pawpaws.
The phones are blowing up, and we're running out of time, so let's get quickly through a couple of calls here. Christina in Pittsburgh wants to know, has a question. Go ahead, Christina, very quickly.
I just want to know where I could either buy a pawpaw or find some. I live in Hazelwood, and there's a lot of woods around there, so would there be any chance there'd be pawpaw trees in there?
I've explored Hazelwood and the river around there, and I've not found many in the wild. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go looking yourself. And I know some folks are growing pawpaws in and around Hazelwood in their backyard, so maybe just start talking to more neighbors and asking folks if they've got them there.
That's a great question, Christina. Hopefully you know where to get your pawpaws now. Let's go to Lily in North Hills. Hi, Lily. Go ahead quickly. Hey. We're running out of time.
I was just on Craigslist the other day, and I don't remember which category it was, but there's a guy in White Oak selling pawpaw seedlings. And I remember the description. He just made them sound so tropical and delicious, and I'm definitely going to buy some of them now.
Good.
If anybody wants to do a search, they might be able to hook up with them.
He's not misleading you. They are truly tropical. They do taste like a mango, custard apple, banana mix. It's truly tropical. So go for it.
And can you make like a pawpaw daiquiri?
Sure. I've had pawpaw margaritas and pawpaw cello and hard pawpaw lemonade. You can do lots of things with it. Yeah.
I love it. So you've written a book, and what do you hope the book will accomplish for the pawpaw? And again, the book by Andrew is called Pawpaw in Search of America's Forgotten Fruit.
I just hope people interact with it more. Find it at, ask farmers markets to bring them in, look for them in the woods and plant them in their own yards and just get to know it a little better.
Well, we've certainly gotten to know it here in this last segment of the show. And again, our guest has been Andrew Moore, author of Pawpaw in Search of America's Forgotten Fruit. Andrew, thank you so much for being
Thanks,
with
Paul.
Us.
Thanks, Paul. This is a lot of fun.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll look at Pope Francis's unprecedented address to a joint session of Congress. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.